Welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the most important and fastest growing segment of society. To those who know that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt and that they cannot be fixed. In fact, yesterday's news that 81% of Republicans in America don't trust their government, and 45% of Democrats in the country don't trust their government is very good news. We are at least acknowledging the fact that these institutions are counterproductive. Our mission, therefore, is to expose, even condemn, those who are working against our interests. And there's no group of people more hostile to the interest of humanity than our fundamentalist Muslims. So it's always my pleasure on Fridays to welcome IQ Al-Rasuli to the program. IQ is the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. It's available at Amazon.com. IQ, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, I was sent a story. It's CNN is running the story of two Muslim boys just being good little boys, you know, playing with their toys out there in the mythical place called Palestine, that they were shot and killed in cold blood by Israelis. Have you seen that video?
Of course, but I didn't see any blood. I didn't see any hole out.
I didn't either. By the way, I'm laughing, and the reason I'm laughing is because we've been through this before. You're familiar with the most famous story was by France 2 television, where they... Yeah, and on that story, it has been proved absolutely beyond any doubt that the entire episode was staged by the Palestinians, and it became the Palestinian cause celeb for over a decade.
Correct. But that's a repeat performance again. By the way, Israelis asked for the bodies to be shown to the Israelis.
Yes.
They refused.
Of course. And there's a reason for them. First, I don't know if the boys are dead or not. I didn't see any blood. I didn't see anything that looked like a person hit by a bullet. The whole thing looked staged to me. And it was unconscionable from my perspective, that CNN would run this story as a national story and claim that the Israelis shot these boys. There was a number of things that were interesting, I thought, though, in the story. The first of them is that these Muslim boys are have their heads wrapped, faces covered. So they don't want their identity known because they're engaged in revolting behavior. They're throwing rocks, they're throwing sticks, they're throwing Molotov cocktails at the Israelis guarding the fence that keeps these animals at bay.
Yes.
I mean, these aren't boys that are out doing something productive. They're not going to school.
Not a single one of them, with all due respect. I have never seen, never, and I mean the word never, for the last 30 years, have I seen any Palestinians demonstrating an activity which is productive? Not once.
You know, I've spent a fair amount of time in the so-called West Bank, and I have been in the places where Jews are no longer allowed, in the apartheid places in the West Bank, and it's an Islamic apartheid. And when you drive through the streets, places just like Bethlehem, which is, you know, not very far from both Tel Aviv and from Jerusalem, every single building has steel doors in front of it, and they're rolled down. There isn't a single shop that is open. Men are walking around with toting AK-47s, and boys are walking around with handguns. No one is working. It is a group of people wholly dependent on handouts from others.
Well, for 65 years. And by the way, the handouts are coming from Christians.
Of course.
Not Arab.
Correct.
Not Muslims. From Christians.
Yeah, there are some handouts that come
from... They are exterminating as we speak.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Pope announced that he is flying from Jordan into Bethlehem. He's going to avoid any contact with Israel, not going into Israel. And as the whole episode is to underscore the oppression of the Palestinians. He's even going to have a joint prayer with the butt-up prostration Muslims in a refugee camp.
Wait a minute. He didn't land into Israel. I thought the whole point was he was landing in Israel.
No, I consider it Israel. God considers it Israel. No, he's flying directly from Jordan into the Palestinian Authority areas. I think he starts in Bethlehem, which the world considers part of the West Bank and not Israel. And the only meeting he's going to have with an Israeli is actually in a Roman Catholic church in East Jerusalem. So he is specifically avoiding going to any place that is considered to be part of Israel.
That's very interesting, because he should ask the Muslims, why was it when Israel controlled Bethlehem and Nazareth, there were many more Christians, tens of thousands more Christians than they have today?
Yeah, in fact, at the time, about 20% of the so-called Palestinian population was Christian. And now the number of Christians living in Israel has been reduced by about 90%.
You mean in the territories of the Muslims?
Right. Yeah, that's right. In the territories, well, the territories of the Muslims are all Israel. So, you know, I view the West Bank, I view that Israel's borders were defined by God, and it's had known borders for a very long time. The West Bank and Gaza are part of Israel, always have been part of Israel. But the distinction is correct. The Christian population in areas that are controlled by the either
Muslims,
the Hamas, or by the PLO, by Muslims, has been decimated 90% in the last 25 years.
Correct. And so what is the Pope going to pray for?
Well, you know...
I'm being serious.
I am being serious here.
2,000 million Christians.
Yeah.
Going kumbaya with the Muslims who are eradicating Christians everywhere.
You know what kumbaya means? It's a Hebrew.
Not really, but I thought it was something to do with
that. Yeah, no. Kumbaya is three Hebrew words. Kum in Hebrew means to stand. Ba in Hebrew is the preposition in or with. And Yah is short for Yahweh. So kumbaya means stand with Yah. That's what it means. Kumbaya means stand with Yah. The interesting thing about that, of course, is that the Roman Catholic Church prohibits the use of Yahweh, his name, in any one of their churches or in any official church business. I've just finished earlier this week, IQ, a 125-page review of Rome. And you might say, why in the world would I care about Rome, and what does it have to do with this pope? I remember I shared the prophecy of what was going to happen in Syria, and then what's going to happen to Israel as a result of Syria, and then the spread of terrorism around the world, and then how Muslims are going to unite and march into Israel en masse. And I gave you the timeline and read from Isaiah, Yeshaya 17 and 18 for you about 2 or 3 months ago. I've moved on to Daniel 7, 8, and 9. And in Daniel 7 and 8, God tells the history of the world. And he, past, present, and future. But he then gets into great detail about Rome. And the things that he says about Rome are really interesting. One is that Rome will actually oppress the whole world. Well, Rome came to an end in the 5th century. And so... he says it lives on, and it oppresses the whole world in the way that it lives on. The way Rome lives on is through the Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholic Church. And for hundreds of years, there was no difference between the Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholic Church, and the Roman Empire. They were all one and the same. This Pope of the Roman Catholic Church is a outgrowth of that beast, and that beast has been, for its entire existence, anti-Semitic. Rome outlawed the Torah. They outlawed even calling Judea. They said it's got to be called after a mythical enemy, the Philistines. They destroyed the temple. They killed millions of Jews, crucifying them. The church has never changed. The church is just an outgrowth of the monstrous nature of Rome, and it is grotesquely anti-Semitic. So that's why it's there. They would rather bond with Muslims than they would recognize the right of Jews to live.
Yeah, I have always, with all due respect, I have mentioned it. Not always, that's not true.
Yeah.
I mentioned it on several occasions that it seems that the Christians, or so-called Christians, mm-hmm. hate the Jews more than they fear the Muslims.
Oh, by far. In fact, they're united with Muslims. I mean, the Pope has kissed the Quran. This Pope's first declaration was how he wanted to have an interfaith dialogue and come to common ground with the Muslims. The past Pope had many conferences on how he wanted to accomplish that very thing. So, no, Roman Catholicism, even though the Eastern Roman Empire, called Byzantia, was destroyed ultimately by Islam. Their hatred of Jews is much deeper than is their fear of Muslims.
From my studies, I'm not a theologian, but from my studies, I came to a very simple conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It is impossible for any man or woman to be a true Christian if they hate Jews. If they hate Jews, they must hate Jesus. Jesus was a Jew.
The reality here...
The disciples were Jewish. The first church was Jewish.
Yeah.
So who are they hating?
Yeah, it's a little more complicated than that.
Enlighten me, please.
Yeah, okay, yes. It is true that Yahusha, there is no person named Jesus. Yahusha... Absolutely, Yahudim is the correct term, but absolutely Yahudim, which means Jewish, so were all of his ancestors. So were every prophet, so was every disciple, so was every individual who knew him, and he was absolutely Torah observant. So we'll get to what that means after the break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with IQ Al Rasuli regarding why it is even remotely possible that the head of the Roman Catholic Church would do everything he can to ingratiate himself with Islamic terrorists while doing everything he can to slight Jews. And IQ mentioned that, how is it possible to be an anti-Semitic Christian, since you use the erroneous name, but since Jesus was a Jew. Yeah, his actual name is Yahusha, and he was Torah observant, which means that it is impossible to be a Christian, in the sense of a follower of Yahusha, without observing the Torah. If you don't observe the Torah, then you're not following him, and the moment you start observing the Torah, you're no longer Christian. The reality is, IQ, that the religion of Christianity was created in successive phases, and it's a wholly false religion. It's not as vicious as Islam today, but there were periods of time where Christianity was as vicious as Islam is today. But it was initially conceived out of Roman anti-Semitism, and then developed by Constantine out of Paul's letters. Paul was a false prophet. Paul was both Roman and Jewish and extraordinarily anti-Semitic. And then Theodosius is the Roman Empire emperor who not only made Christianity the official religion of Rome, but imposed it on everybody. He's the guy that actually created the model that Europe would suffer under for 1,000 years in terms of the feudal system and the integration of church and state. And so the religion of Christianity grew out of the anti-Semitism in Rome. It has always been anti-Semitic. It has always been false. and it is impossible to be an informed and rational Christian. So your point is valid, but there's more to it than meets the eye. Does that help?
Yeah, well, it's at least another point of view that I didn't know.
Yeah, the Christianity is, in fact, we've talked about this a lot. The reason I'm as opposed to Christianity as I am to Islam is that Christianity is a false religion. And while it is not as deadly today as Islam is today, so long as we live with Islam being practiced in the world today, then hundreds of people are going to die every day from terrorist attacks. And ultimately, that number is going to grow to millions and even to billions as a result of Islam. But I can't form an alliance with Christianity because that religion is also false. And it was born out of anti-Semitism, so it doesn't do us any good to align with them.
And that's, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I think the word anti-Semitism must not be used ever again. Because
yeah,
today, the Arabs are now dominant number of people, millions of them. Yeah. There are 50 million Arabs and Muslims in Europe and America, and they are Semitic.
Yeah,
so the word should be anti-Jewish.
Yeah,
not anti-Semitic.
Yeah, the reason that anti-Semitism, because of descendants of Shem, and yeah. There is there is a connection racially between Arabs and Jews. When you use the term anti-Semitism, I think 99.99% of the world understand that means against Jews, and so that's why we use the term. But you're right. If you go to the root of the word, could embrace Arabs, and as you know, all Arabs are anti-Jew. Not all. I would say 99.9% of Arabs are anti-Jewish. Even the Arabs that aren't Muslims are...
The Christian Arabs are even worse.
Yeah, they are. That's, again, it proves my point that the last thing we want to do is align ourselves with Christianity to oppose Islam. Christian Arabs are worse in terms of their hatred of Jews than are the Jews themselves. Now, just so that our listeners know, the hatred of Jews by Muslims, it does not come out of thin air, does it? It did not come in 1948 when Israel was declared a state. When did the hatred of Jews begin in Islam?
Specifically after the year 622 when Muhammad went to Medina.
Correct. Called Yathrib at the time, and
yeah.
What did Muhammad do to the three Jewish communities in Yathrib, today's Medina?
Well, first of all, he pretended that he was being in alliance with them, but in reality, when he went there, he started a constitution that was one-sided, only for his followers.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Judaized Arabs refused to accept him as the prophet of Allah, he exterminated them in the end.
Yeah, we'll return to that thought.
Or exterminate them.
Yeah, we'll return to that thought when Shatteringness continues after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shatteringness. We're having a conversation with IQ Arasuli. We're talking about why Muslims are enraged against Jews. So long as Islam exists, is there any chance that we'll ever be peace from the perspective of Muslims towards Jews?
For as long as there are believers in Muhammad and Quran, never.
Isn't the what's called the Medina surahs, those surahs that were written while Muhammad was either exiling, robbing, raping, enslaving, or murdering all of the Jews in Yathrib, today's Medina, aren't the surahs that justify the maltreatment of the Jews as, if not worse, as bad, if not worse, than the declarations against Jews in Hitler's Mein Kampf?
Correct. Hitler's Mein Kampf was mild compared to Muhammad's
yes.
Quran.
Yeah, it's my conclusion as well, that the Quran is actually more anti-Jewish, we'll use your term.
It's 100% anti-Jewish.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah.
By the way, when we talk about Muhammad and the Jews, mm-hmm. He was anti all of the Arab peninsula who were not Muslim.
Correct.
I mean, he wasn't just singling out the Jews, although the Jews were number one target.
Right.
But he attacked everybody who is not a good Muslim.
In fact, with that thought in mind, let's just pretend for a moment that that Jews killed two boys yesterday. I don't think they did, but let's just pretend they did. Do you know how many civilians were killed by the mortar attack in the Syrian city of Deraa today?
No.
21. Do you know how many Christians were murdered in Nigeria over the last 2 days?
I would say 200.
Yeah, just shy. 175. Do you know how many Shia Muslims were killed in Iraq yesterday?
Maybe 30.
Yeah, just shy. Do you know how many civilians were killed in the Muslim region of China today and yesterday?
Yeah, I heard about that. About 31 or maybe more.
31 plus another 5 today. 31 yesterday, 5 today. In Libya yesterday, when they were having the riots in the capital, they killed 24. That means that that 280 civilians were killed by Islamic terrorists in the last 2 days.
But CNN concentrated on the two Palestinians. Isn't that remarkable?
Isn't that remarkable? Yeah, that was my point. It's even if they were killed, which I don't think they were, it was 280 to 2. And by the way, of the civilians that were killed in those five countries that I mentioned, was any of them were any of the civilians provoking the terrorist when the terrorist killed them?
Not at all. Not a single one of them. They were all unarmed, everyday civilians.
Yes, and were these Palestinians by the video camera provoking the Israelis by throwing Molotov cocktails and rocks at them?
The fact that they were covered from head to toe so that they don't show their identity proves there was something wrong.
Yeah. Oh, well, you show the video. That video shows them throwing rocks. As a matter of fact,
I mean, it's like somebody going to a bank wearing a balaclava. What do they expect the bank manager to think?
Right. Exactly. It's my view entirely. As a matter of fact, you know why the security cameras were on them and they were all over the particular building? You know why they were there?
No.
Because Muslims, not Jews, robbed his building so often that he put security cameras on there just so that he would know who was vandalizing his building.
By the way, the videos that were shown to us, to the world, were edited, completely edited.
Well, CNN claims not, of course.
They didn't show the beginning and the end. They showed only what they wanted to show.
Yeah. I, by the way, saw the first video that was released, and it showed the beginning and the end. And when you saw it, when I watched the whole thing, I said, this is such a joke.
But CNN took it seriously, and millions of Americans would take it seriously, and over 1,000 million Mohammedan Muslims would take it seriously.
Yeah, they'll believe that it actually occurred. You know, the previous film like this that was alleged that Israeli snipers killed an Israeli child, a Palestinian child, has been so universally discredited that they don't have any credibility. They've lied in the past. You know, you'll see a picture of the Muslims parading a coffins of little children down the street, and after they finish their walk in front of the cameras, they'll set the coffins down and the kid will get out. Oh, you know, when the Israelis retaliated against the rockets being launched from Lebanon in the last go-round, the Muslims emptied out their morgue and put the bodies of those who were in the morgue in the apartment building to make it look like the Israelis killed a bunch of Islamic civilians.
Yeah, we should never, ever condemn the Muslims. We should only condemn our news media, who are colluding with them, knowing full well that the other side is lying. I never condemn the Muslims. Why? Because this is their modus operandi, as Allah has ordained upon them. I don't condemn them. I understand them.
I do both.
I condemn our media.
Yeah, I do both.
In Europe,
Our politicians, our media are absolutely culpable, and every individual, every civilian casualty every day, and there's hundreds every day that are killed by Muslims. The blood of those dead is staining the souls of every politician and every media outlet in the West that that lies on behalf of this ridiculous religion. However, that does not change the fact that I also hold Muslims responsible for perpetrating 99.9% of the world's terrorist acts.
I accept that, but we understand why they do it.
Yeah, exactly.
We understand it. I mean, even if they were moral, they were born a moral human being.
Right.
They were made into immoral human beings by their scripture.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So I excuse them. I don't forgive them. I excuse them. But our leaders, you just said the Pope is going to have kumbaya with the Palestinians.
Yeah.
The very Palestinians who are eradicating Catholicism and all Christians in the Middle East and in the Muslim countries. So
it's amazing that the Roman Catholic Church happens to be on the side of Assad in Syria, because there is a small Catholic population in Syria, just like there was a small Christian population in Iraq. And that when the fundamentalists took over those countries, just as is occurring right now in Syria, the jihadists that America is arming are annihilating the Christians. And so they know that the fundamentalist Muslims are ruthless and will kill every Christian every time they have the opportunity. And so it is astounding that their anti-Jewish sentiment in the Roman Catholic Church is so extreme that they'll bond with those trying to kill them, those who are killing them.
Yeah, I need a favor from you.
Sure.
Why do the Christians hate the Jews? I understand why the Muslims do.
It comes out of,
I have an answer, but you tell me.
Okay. It begins with Paul. Paul, who was born a Roman Jew under the name Shaul, changed his name to Paulos. Paulos claimed to see Yosha on the road to Damascus. He was lying. He met with Satan. He is demon-possessed by his own admission, just as was Muhammad. And as someone inspired by Satan, everything Paul wrote was anti-Jewish, anti-Torah, anti-God. And so Christian hatred of Jews begins with Paul's letters, which comprise half of the Christian New Testament. And then from there, Christianity as a religion grew in Rome and in Greece. Both communities were just unbelievably anti-Jewish. And so the combination of those two things, they never got the stain of anti-Jewishness out of their soul as these religions developed, as the Christian religion developed.
The accusation that the Jews are guilty of deicide, I thought that was the reason.
No, that is just so ridiculous, because the rabbis in Israel, circa 33 CE, had no authority in terms of capital punishment. And so while the high priests wanted Yahusha gone, they had no authority to do so. So they turned him over to Roman ruler of the province of Yehuda at the time, Pontius Pilate, for the express purpose that the Romans had the authority to execute him. And so you hear, in fact, I receive letters almost every day from those who are Jewish, Yehudim, Israelites, who are constantly called Christ killers. If they introduce themselves as a Jew, some moronic Christian will say, "Oh, you Christ killer." And the reality is, it's the Romans. that killed his body. And you can't kill God, so they didn't kill God. But it's the Romans that executed him, and it's the Romans that conceived conceived Christianity. So, you know, it's absolutely absurd. But if you read the sermons and the books written by the church fathers of Christianity during this time, ranging from Constantine to Theodosius, that during that period of time, the Christian fathers are vastly more anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, than was Muhammad, than is the Quran, than was Adolf Hitler, than is Mein Kampf.
I have a situation here.
Yeah.
I'm not a theologian. I've not studied the subject as deeply as you have, mm-hmm. but I studied the Bible, the Hebrew, and the New Testament. And I came to mm-hmm. an incredibly simple conclusion, which is mm-hmm. this. Had it not been that even if it's true that the Jews caused the death of Jesus, had it not been for the death of Jesus and the resurrection, there would have been no Christianity. So actually the Jews did the Christians a favor.
Yeah, actually.
If I'm wrong.
Yeah, actually, Yahusha's body was executed, but God was not killed. That's a myth of Christianity, and there was no bodily resurrection. That's also a myth of Christianity based on the pagan religions of yesteryear. So, but that is the basis of Christianity, indeed. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. The short answer to your question, IQ, is that if you actually pay attention to what Yahusha said and did, you can't be a Christian. Because all of his words and deeds were in wholesale compliance with the Torah. And everything he said was opposed to a religion like Christianity. So it's impossible to be an informed and rational Christian. That's just the bottom line to the whole thing. Jason, I understand you have a comment and welcome. I haven't heard from you in a while, Jason, for either IQ or myself.
Yeah, thanks. I can end this debate quickly with the words of Yahusha.
Mm-hmm.
He said himself, "No man takes my life from me."
That's correct.
So that pretty much ends it right there. There's no question.
Yeah, yeah. God can't be killed, and since Yahusha was a diminished manifestation of Yahweh, he can't be killed. That's why he said his last words on the upright pole was, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He's quoting the 22nd Psalm to explain what's going to happen next. If you read the rest of the Psalm, it explains exactly what's happening next. His life, his soul, continued to exist. It went into Sheol on Matzah the following day, and then was released from Sheol on Bukurim. To show the way to fulfill the promise of our adoption. So you are correct. The reality.
Well, not only that, I think it was in the physical sense as well. I believe. I'm not sure, but I think he was responding to some of the disciples' concerns.
Yes.
About his safety.
Yes.
And for me, it sounds like he was more getting to the point was that he was willingly being, you know, physically killed.
Yes. Yeah. The physical body served as the Passover lamb. He made that decision to sacrifice that which was essentially meaningless to him,
yes.
which was his
so
physical
really,
body as the Passover
it
lamb.
Was the Romans, or it was
correct.
Yehudim.
Yeah, neither would have slain his body, and his body was meaningless to him. The only thing that was meaningful to him was his spirit, and he surrendered that before the occurrence. So it's the challenge, IQ, really, is that that Christianity is based on a whole pile of lies, and the Christian Jesus Christ is modeled almost identically after Dionysus. He is a mythical caricature, bearing absolutely no resemblance to the actual historical individual named as Yahusha. So that's the challenge of trying to understand why Christians behave so so opposed to Jews when Yahweh makes it really clear that his chosen people are Jews, and that his chosen place happens to be Yisrael. And he made it clear right in his conversation with Abraham that those who trifle with Israel, those who curse Israel, those who are opposed to Jews are opposed to him. So it's you can't have a relationship with God and be anti-Jewish. That's impossible.
That's exactly the situation that I came to.
Yes.
Or the conclusion that I came to.
Your conclusion was correct.
When I talk to so-called theologians,
mm-hmm.
they give me the runaround, which is,
yes.
as far as I'm concerned, also it's illogical.
Yes.
What I said a few minutes ago,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it. You realize what I said. I'll tell you what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that the Jews are guilty for the death of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Assuming.
Well, they did Christianity a favor, because without death there is no resurrection. And without death and resurrection there is no Christianity.
Yeah. No, I understood what you said. I just want you to...
So they did them a favor. This is hating them.
From the myth of Christianity's perspective, from the lie that is Christianity's perspective, your statement is absolutely correct.
That's what I wanted to hear, whether I'm
yes.
right or wrong.
Yeah. Well, your statement is correct if viewed from the myth, from the lie that is Christianity. They should be grateful for the reasons you've just mentioned. However, God did not die. And there was no bodily resurrection. So the reality is that should it have occurred, yes, they should be grateful for it. Otherwise, they would not have a religion. But it did not actually occur. Neither actually occurred. And so it's the whole religion is based upon the death and resurrection myths of all of the sons of the sons, like Dionysus, Osiris, Bacchus, Tammuz. They're all the same. And it's why Paul quotes Dionysus on during his conversion experience. The Christian Jesus Christ is modeled off after the pagan gods of Babylon and Egypt and Rome and Greece. We'll be back after the news and commercial break.